Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
God has promised us victory, that's for sure, right? It's prophesied, it's promised, it's been exampled, our Lord's conquering of death through the cross. But sometimes, where's the victory, Lord? What if God were to say to you, like He's going to say to Joshua and the troop tonight, just now, just this moment, and for the next couple days, it's not time for victory. It's time for renewal. Let's check it out. Chapter 5, remember last couple of weeks when we were there, we saw that the children of Israel are coming through. God parted the Jordan River. It's a picture of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're entering into the promised land. The promised land, of course, is a model of the Spirit-filled life. Are there battles ahead in the Spirit-filled life sometimes? Are there usurpers squatting on God's land for you and saying, you can't take it, it's mine? And so these principles of the promised land, here comes a big one tonight. We've come across the Jordan River. Watch what happens. Chapter 5, verse 1. And so it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart, what? Melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Remember when they sent in the witnesses, the two witnesses that Rahab sheltered? Do you remember what Rahab let them know? Everybody is scared to death of you people. Why? Said the two messengers. The two witnesses, really. A model, perhaps, of Moses and Elijah scouting out the land, if you will, before the Lord Himself comes in the book of Revelation. But for our study tonight, really, everybody's frightened? Yeah, they're still talking about the time that God parted the Red Sea for you guys coming up out of Egypt. That was 40 years ago. And then also they're talking about those three huge kingdoms that you guys rolled over one after the other, and we're freaking out. And now after that, now God dried up the Jordan, and everybody knew about that. And now they're like, oh, shaking in their boots. And is this the time, the perfect time to strike? I think the military college would agree. Israel's morale is at an all-time high. And the kings, the usurpers, their morale is at an all-time low. And they are intimidated and afraid. Let's do this now, we say. Watch what God is going to do. God's timing is not man's timing. Don't you hate that particular truth? There's battles to be fought, and Israel, they were not just now ready for this battle, especially on the enemy's soil, so to speak. Now is not the time for conquest. It's the time for renewal. And sometime, blessed child of the Lord, the Most High God, and we say, why, Lord? Why or why, God, am I not seeing victory? Could it possibly be that God might be saying, for you, my son, you, my daughter. It's not time for victory just yet. It's time for renewal. There's going to be three circumstances, really, of renewal, if you're taking notes. Number one, the model of renewal, circumcision. Verse 2. Now at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself. I wonder if he's thinking, oh, good one, Lord. Flint knives, that's going to do great in the battle. Yeah, good idea, Lord. Flint knives. And circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. Lord, I don't know if you've noticed, the river's flowing back again. There's no retreat. And we're in the enemy's area. They've got a walled city, and we're out here on the plains all by ourselves. Are you sure? God says it's not quite time for victory yet, Joshua. It's time for renewal. And renewal number one, how do you get renewed? It's time that God is saying, back off the battle for just a while. I've not called you to fight just yet. I want you to become renewed. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. Verse 4. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came up out of Egypt, remember, 40 years ago, all of those who were males, all of the men of war, they had died in the wilderness on the way when they had come out of Egypt. Remember Numbers 13 at Kadesh Barnea? God said, go. Moses listened to the crowd and he sent in 12. Two of them came back, Joshua and Caleb, no problem. What did the other 10 say? We're going to die. There's giants in the land. They have walls up to the sky. No way, no way. Their fearful report basically took everyone's courage away from them. And God said, because you're not going to do this, I'm going to have to let this generation die. And anyone 20 years of age or older isn't going to make it into the promised land. So the new generation is here. That's what this is in reference to. And it would seem that in the next 40 years after Kadesh Barnea, they didn't circumcise anymore. Verse 5. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness, on the way as they came out of Egypt, had not been circumcised. Why not? Was it a lack of faith? Were they just sort of, kind of discouraged? Did they forget that God told Abraham, circumcision will be a sign of a very important covenant between you and me? And what about the circumcision anyway? Of the sexual sins that typify most cultures, number one, most cultures, of course, who don't have either the exterior of God's word or they refuse the interior witness of conscience, that's where culture will always go. Is it same-sex relations? Is it adultery? Is it fornication? Who invented sexual intimacy? God did. Why? Oh, a number of beautiful and wonderful reasons. Not the least of which is for strengthening commitment and intimacy of husband and wife. Wouldn't you agree? Because husband and wife, remember, are a model in the Old Testament of God's intimacy and connection and commitment to Israel. The Bible actually says that God refers to Israel as his wife. And in the New Testament, the bride of Christ are we, and he is our groom. Circumcision, only privately for the dudes or for their spouses, but which a man is reminded of every day. But also, you might want to scratch in your margin, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Circumcise your hearts, Israel. Therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. It's a cutting away of the worldliness as well. Romans 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew, said Paul, who was one outwardly. In other words, so he circumcised. That's not what counts. Nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, Paul says. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. That is, they are separated from the world, if you will, Egypt, and dedicated to God. And one more for you note takers. Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. In Jesus, in him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off, interesting word, totally breaking away from the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ. So it was a physical model in the Old Testament, and it models something in our own flesh and self today. Verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the people who were men of war, who had come up out of Egypt, were consumed. Why? Because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Numbers 13. To whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised the sons whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised along the way. Isn't it time for victory, Lord? You parted the sea, they're afraid of us, their morale is low, our morale is high, let's get them. God says you need to know about these principles of the promised land. You can't fight the pitched battles unless I'm fighting them for you. And I am hindered fighting the battles for you if you got stuff sticking to your heart. You got one foot in Egypt, so to speak, and one foot with me. For your own good, you got to have to cut some of that stuff away. Verse 8. And so it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp until they were healed. It's going to take a few days. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, now this day I have rolled away. And that word in Hebrew for rolled away is Gilgal. Hey, Lord, let's do this thing. You promised me the battle. You promised me the victory. Where's the victory, Lord? Let's go storm in Jericho. God says, can't, beloved son, precious daughter. You need to spend a little time in Gilgal first. And roll away, look at here, the reproach of Egypt. You know what the reproach of Egypt is? Scholars are sort of on a couple different sides of that understanding. The preponderance of evidence seems to point to this. That the Egyptians, while the Jews were in captivity and the Jews were the slaves of the Egyptians, that the Egyptians, it would seem, made fun of the Jewish people. 400 years, more or less, they served the Egyptians. And they would chuckle, perhaps, at their parties and social engagements. And they would say, hey, slave, fetch me this or do some of that. And then they would laugh. These are the chosen people. These are the ones that have a promised land that they're supposed to occupy and stand in command of. What a bunch of goobers. Interesting idea, if that is so. The reproach of Egypt might have been, who do you think you are going to the promised land? Have any of us ever heard some of those voices? You know, there's a fullness that God has for you. Give him the steering wheel and ask him to fill you to overflowing. But how many of us sometimes we go, that's not been my experience of late. My Christian walk flowing with fruit and sustenance, contentment. Have you been listening to some of the reproach of Egypt? Who do you think you are? You can't go into the promised land. That's not for you. You can't have it. You're my slave. And you better not ever think that you won't serve me, says your addiction. This marriage is gone. You might as well pack up right now. It will never, ever change, says the reproach of Egypt. This day at Gilgal, before you can see the victory, you got to cut away some stuff. And one of the things that needs to happen, you have to roll away the reproach, the hissing, haunting voices. You can't. You'll never. You always. Promised land of a spirit-filled life for you, says your addictions. Are you kidding? You'll never get there. You'll always be our slave. Just get used to settling here. Potentially, said the Egyptians to the Jews. But today at the circumcision, cut it away and stay for a few days, perhaps, at Gilgal. Model of renewal. Number one, circumcise your heart. And what's a good way to do that, by the way? Verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped at Gilgal, and they kept the what, everybody? They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the plains of Jericho. It would seem that not only were they not circumcising their sons, they weren't observing the Passover. What did God say the night before they were to leave Egypt? When you take the bread and you daub the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, and the angel of judgment passed over, you were to leave the very next day, and God was very clear. Do this every anniversary of the 14th of Nisan. Because every time you eat of the Passover lamb, add the bitter herbs and the salt water, and you take the cups, it's a reminder of what God has done. In the Old Testament, it was a powerful reminder of how awesome God's power to extricate us from the reproach of Egypt. Can you think of a New Testament equivalent? Communion. It may not be your season just yet for victory. It may be your season for renewal. Stop for a while at Gilgal and do some circumcising of some stuff. Well, that's really hard. How do I do that? Physically come to the Lord's table a lot and take communion. Verse 10 again. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the plains of Jericho. A model of renewal. Number one, circumcise your heart. How? Number two, by revisit the Passover, if you will. Revisit the cross. By myself, I am helpless, hopeless, a sinner making the same mistakes over and over. And we think that set of tools is going to be any better in fighting the usurpers and the squatters of the promised land? By the cross I am redeemed, justified, called, and empowered. One good way to sort of figure out if maybe you've been wandering in the desert, so to speak, and you're sort of outside the promised land, communion didn't really come up much in your thinking or your conversation. You didn't seem to have the time for it, maybe, or even didn't feel the urgency. When I've entered into the promised land, do you notice that I'm drawn to the table? You hold your finger here. Well, how can communion equip me, get me circumcised, as it were, at Gilgal and get my heart right? Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that how many things work together? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew. Remember, God can see the future. We can't. He can. He looks down the timeline, and He knew who would choose Him and who wouldn't. Some people get kind of stuck on this argument. Well, does He foreknow and then He calls and then some are predestined and some aren't? Is it the choice of the human or is it the authority of God? Which is it? The answer is, well, both. It's just that God looks down the future, and in my case, over a dishwasher at 7641 Granada Drive in Reading. Do I? The war raged inside my own heart, and I gave my heart to the Lord. To me, under the sun, it was my choice. It was, for whosoever will believe in Him, that was me. It was my choice. It's just that before time began, God looked down and He saw me. And then watch what happens. Verse 29. For whom He, God, foreknew, He also predestined. Predestined for what? To be a diehard Raider fan, of course. The Raiders are 1-0. Just want to let you know we're tied for first. Ha ha. For whom He, the Lord, foreknew, He predestined for what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. Let me rephrase that. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're not done. Verse 30. And moreover, says Paul. Paul, remember, got a glimpse of the heavenlies. He got a glimpse of living in that multidimensional system where there is no time. And in a couple different locations I've showed you before, he's tried to describe it. In the book of Ephesians, he describes a four-dimensional understanding. Paul, did you know Einstein? He saw some stuff. Here's one of the things he reports on, verse 30. And moreover, Harvest, those people whom He predestined, He also called. So before the foundation of the world, before one molecule was created, He looked down the timeline and He saw me giving my heart to Him, whosoever will. And before there was one molecule, He predestined me what? That Steve is going to make it. He's going to get there. Before the foundation of the world, that's when He called me. Called me for what? Some of what I'm doing right now. Even though I tried to run from it for a number of years. When did God call you guys and then equip you for your calling? When? Well, when I received the Lord, then He gave me the Holy Spirit, which is true, and that's when He called me. And I'd better watch it, because if I goof up enough, He'll yank that calling away from me. Is that accurate? God's giftings and callings are without repentance. He didn't call you and gift you when you received Him. He called and He gifted you from before the foundation of the world. We're still not done. And whom He called, He also justified. What does that mean? Just as if I had never, ever, ever, ever sinned. When? From the foundation of the world, beloved. We're the ones that come up to Him and say, Lord, I did that thing for the 50th time. And if you are in Christ, how much of your sin was paid for? And God may look at you theologically speaking and saying, what are you talking about? I called you.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.